In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to another episode of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Of course, that's the Yankees and the Red Sox. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman, and it is a season that remains relatively stunning for the teams that we focus on. And
all across baseball, it's stunning.
I mean, you have KC in first in the Central, Seattle, and Oakland now in second in the West.
Oakland's going to make a run at their 20 wins in a row.
I mean, it's incredible.
No one's even talking about that.
I know.
It's crazy.
And when I talk about the turnaround with the Red Sox, I'm going to bring up Oakland as well. You have Cincinnati winning the NL Central. I mean, the only thing that's really to chalk is the Dodgers, right? I mean, they have the
great series against the Padres.
It was really fun.
Awesome series.
We have to get Bobby Dickerson back on, and that catch, literally that catch by Mookie was like by another half an inch, and that ball will touch the ground.
Yeah, I mean, in that situation, there's no other thing you could do. I mean, that ball drops, two-run score, you go for it, and miss it, two-run score. Great players make that play.
He's got cojones, and he has that team wrapped around his finger.
They love him.
And that's what I want to, I think that Cora has a similar impact on the Red Sox, where I want to get to, but I think we have to start with the Yankees because when you
where look, to start?
Well, you know, it's funny because I did a deep dive into them, and sitting there, you know, at the bottom of the standings, it's not so much how many games they're behind, it's how many teams they're behind. You know what I mean? They have to jump over four teams to get to the top of the AL East, obviously, but they have to jump over every team to get in the wild card now.
Yeah, they're the worst team in the AL.
Crazy. Batting under 210.
Yeah, 208, 296 on base percentage.
As of Wednesday.
296 on base percentage, 344 slugging percentage. Both last in the AL, and the on base percentage is 10th in the AL. Okay, so that's not good.
So let's go over this really quick, because I noticed that they don't have a high number of runs allowed. The pitching's been okay. I mean, it's not been amazing, but the thing is that they haven't allowed a lot of runs. And so, obviously, we isolated the hitting. So, what have you seen? Like, what's the problem?
They are definitely not hitting, period. I mean,
who's the GOAT? Who looks stupid up there? Like, what is the deal? Who's
going to get Torres looks awful in the field and hitting. 182, no home runs, one RBI. Sanchez, awful. I mean, They just shook up the lineup again, finally. But those guys shouldn't have been playing as of 5 days ago or 6 days ago. They're just awful. Hicks, awful. 161 home run, 5 RBI. Stanton, awful. 170, 3 home runs, 12 RBI, 20 strikeouts already on the season. Yeah. See, the problem is, it's like they're not getting guys on base. And when they do get someone on base, they still stink. So there's absolutely nothing happening. They scored in the last game on a bases-loaded walk and a wild pitch.
Right. It wasn't even a Tuesday.
And Ronald Acuna didn't play.
Right. No, I mean, that is a good example of a win that didn't feel like a win.
And you asked, like, who's going to get fired or whatever. No, I don't think anyone's getting fired now, but we had talked in the earlier episodes about, you know, the Jay Bruce experiment. Yeah, he solved that because he retired, right? Yep. But they had to shake something up. Ford is in. The devil's sitting.
But let me put it to you this way. If the Red Sox started 0-3, and I think something like less than 20% of teams that started 0-3 made the playoffs. And they rattled off 7 in a row to get out of it, but they only needed to win 3 in a row to get to 500. The Yankees, every game that they're 5-6 below 500, as you go into the season, it's going to get more and more difficult. Like, in my opinion, they need to get on. Anything can happen, but I think they need to get back to even before, like, I'd say mid-May.
I was going to say Mother's Day. Yeah, I mean, they have to. There's no, like, night after night in the manager's press conference, I asked Boone, and it's just like he has no answers. It's like he just sits
maybe
there.
Maybe he's the problem. Like, this is what I want to bring up. Like,
Do you think he's the problem? Why, like, 9 out of, like, 12 players that should be hitting aren't hitting?
Maybe. Maybe.
It just seems crazy that that would be like all of a sudden after, in the third
complacent.
Year.
Maybe they're too complacent. Maybe they're not. I don't.
A bunch of overpaid superstars?
I can't tell you, but when I look at Alex Cora and I compare what the team did during the pandemic and now, what I'm saying about Cora is that I don't know if he's that good at X's and O's, but yes, of course, he appeals to the Latin players a lot. But he also found a way, like with Eduardo Rodriguez, to be tough on him, but also have Eduardo Rodriguez trust him. And the thing is, he's bringing out the best out of a generally lazy guy. Like Rodriguez, left to his own devices, probably would have his hand in his pants playing Xbox with the other hand. Like he just has that, right. He emotes that kind of personality. And Cora's that. And so like, with the exception of 2003, I like Aaron Boone. I think he's a good baseball guy, but at some point what's the deal?
You have to step back and it's not like the whole business as usual Yankees thing. You need like the Billy Martin to get fired up. Like I've been saying, like they need CeCe to go in there and go gorilla in the clubhouse. He's a special advisor. Get in there and tell these guys how to play some ball. And you can't tell me that they're overpaid prima donnas. There is not, if you think about it, how many people in the Yankees are making that much money? Mike Stanton and Gerrit Cole. And Aroldis Chapman.
Mike Stanton.
Right? That's what we'll call him. We'll call him Mike Stanton now, right? Because honestly, there's three guys, right? They're not the Dodgers.
No.
Gleyber Torres, not making money. Sanchez shouldn't be making money. He's making $5 million, but that's not a
so
big amount of money.
They got a bunch of eligible guys. My point is, like, how are they really? Are they treating Aaron Judge like he's the Queen of England, or is he like? I mean, it just he doesn't seem to be pushing the right buttons. And so, to me, and I know Brian Cashman has come out in support, but the bottom line is that at some point, if this season does go off the rails, and I don't think it will, I think they'll get hot, and I think that they will
there's
challenge.
Definitely it's early in the season. They're gonna get back to where they should be. They're gonna be playing good baseball, but like you said. Is that going to be enough? Like you, it's early, yes, but you're five games out, right? If you're five games out, that's a lot of ground to make up against it in this division.
Sure, that means
nobody is rolling over in this division.
It has to be five nights where the first place team loses and you win to get back, and that's not going to happen.
And even
five nights in a row, that's going to happen over 15 or 20 nights, right?
So exactly,
it's going to have to be to really get themselves back in the mix. They don't have to win 10 in a row, but they have to win. They got to win like. If I was Boone, I'd say, let's just start to win series.
I was just going to say that. You got to win a series.
Three out of four, two out of three, three. Eventually, you'll just get there. And I think that these guys are pros. They're competitive. I honestly think if you pitch it to them that way, then they look at it competitively in a different light. And I think that works. I think winning series in baseball, believe it or not, can be a really effective way to look at the season.
Right. It seems it's very short picture, but it's a big picture thing.
That's the thing with baseball is that if you need to narrow down to the moment sometimes because it's such a long season and you have to forget what just happened and all this other stuff. All the cliches are true.
But do you think they need someone to go in there? I mean, they said that they had a thing there tonight where they kept it in the clubhouse, but like Aaron Boone just got a pacemaker put in. I don't see him in there just going straight up crazy town.
I don't think they need the manager of the Durham Bulls throwing the bats in the showers. Like, that's not what I'm talking about.
You lollygag your way around.
I just think they need...
Do they need a Lou Brown? Was it Lou Brown when they stripped off the bitch owner?
Yeah, that's right.
Was his name Lou Brown?
Major League. I always think of Lou Brown as that old school reporter.
Downtown Lou Brown.
NBC,
yeah, but I think his name was Lou Brown. He used to sell tires.
It might have been. But the bottom line is that I don't know what it is, but I think they just... There's some karma there that's not working, and they got to fix it. Now, whether it's CeCe's not there or Aaron Boone doesn't want to get a heart attack. I can't tell you that, but I know that there's something missing.
And, there's definitely something missing.
I want to make the transition into the Red Sox because there's something there.
Totally.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Schack, but this is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Like from, I see this, I look at the stuff every day, especially through my job because I do sportscasts four times a day. Like, what are you seeing when you look at the Red Sox?
I see some mojo. I see them doing their, like, waving to the dugout and doing their little
laundry cart down
I'm telling you, dude. Kiki Hernandez.
You love him.
I love Kiki Hernandez, dude. He was money for the Dodgers. I told you before the season started. I texted you as soon as that happened that he is going to be an X factor for you. Now, you're getting your wish that JD is being back to JD. Will he keep going? The guy doesn't seem like he can miss now. And say what you want about Devers' defense. The dude is hitting.
Well, if you have Devers and Bogarts hitting, then JD's got to get some pitches.
You got three or four guys that are hitting, and Verdugo's no slouch either.
No.
Like, though, you got three or four guys on your team that are hitting. Your pitching can be mediocre.
Well, there's two things I want to say. One is Cora, and the reason why, and I'm not saying he's a better manager than Aaron Boone, but he lets them be themselves. But somehow, and this is my biggest gripe with a modern athlete, is that nobody holds him accountable. It seems that Cora has got the confidence enough to find a way. Even sometimes, like with Rodriguez, Eduardo, he even needled him 2 years ago in the media. And so I think it's important to have that balance where you have enough respect where you can be hard on them, but also let them be them. Like the stuff like the laundry card on home runs going down the thing, let them have fun.
Right.
They're big men playing a kid's game, and if it's not fun, it's kind of a waste of their talent. It doesn't work, and I think he gets that. And maybe Boone just seems a little more buttoned up than that. And the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, they don't have a great staff, but I would say that if Valdi's been good, Eduardo Rodriguez has been good. If they can get Sale back mid-season and have him, they don't have to.
That's your free agent pickup,
right? That's the best trade deadline arm you could get if he's good. And if you have those three guys, and I think that Rodriguez and Eovaldi are legitimate 2-3 starters on any team. Right. They're not number ones.
Like I said, they're good. They're good enough. If your team is hitting and they're gelling, that's what you need. You get Sale back. It's like what the Yankees need if they get Severino back. But are they going to be 5 or 6 games out at that point still, right, which won't be enough?
If Martin Perez is a 4 starter, I mean, so to me, like, the whole season, sure, it still hinges, I think, on a guy like JD keeping it up. But I think if Sale can get back and they are anywhere within 3 or 4 games of where they are now, they're going to make the playoffs if Sale can pitch.
And they're not going to all of a sudden just not be – not play good. I mean, I don't see that happening.
I can't tell you. I mean, the way I look at
it. What I mean by not playing good, I mean like how the Yankees are playing now. Right. I just don't see that happening, especially if you start this way and you get out of the gates this way. It's just, you know, baseball is more mental and streaky, and you know every one of those players on that field knows there's going to be some crap they're going to go through. Yeah. You know?
Listen, before we go, this is a curveball for you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Out of the entire league, all of baseball, what has been like the most pleasant surprise for you, or the thing that's caught your eye when you're not focusing on the Yankees that you've sort of...
The Yerminator in Chicago. That guy, where did that guy come from? Mercedes... from the Chicago White Sox. I don't even know. I've never heard of that guy. And all he's doing is raking.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's been so many crazy things. 2 no-hitters. Almost no-hitters. Crazy defense.
I love the Oakland A's story I'm into because no one pays attention to it.
10 wins. It's crazy.
And I know it's so weak for me to say this, but, you know, reading Moneyball. I read Moneyball right when it came out, and it was so transformative to watch all those names come through baseball because they weren't big names when the book came out. And I know Bean's not really that involved anymore, but for them to like start the season, I don't know, was it 0-6 or something like that? And now to rattle off all those wins in a row, I just think is cool.
And Mitch Moreland, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I love Mitch. I love Mitch.
He's this year's Scott Hatterberg.
And I love the fact that we get to see the Padres and the Dodgers play, you know, 14, 15 more times. Because I think that they are, when you have, it was true with the Yankees and the Red Sox in the early part of this century, when the two best teams in baseball are in the same division, it's cool.
It is really cool.
And they are, in my opinion, on paper, the two best teams when everybody's healthy. And I think that the Padres, for them to feel like, you know, they're the underdogs is an interesting dynamic. And it wasn't that those people should go to YouTube and watch some of the highlights because it was a fun series from top to bottom.
Yeah, it was a very good series. Yeah. And baseball in general has been insane so far this year. I'm very looking forward to the rest of it.
Yeah. I'm thinking about taking the boys early May. The Sox are in Baltimore. And I don't know what the capacity is, but the tickets aren't that bad. I'm thinking of just cashing in some Hilton
Camden
points,
Yards is awesome,
making
too.
The run down. So we've done awesome. It once before, but it's just so enjoyable to go down there.
That is probably, like, of all the parks I've been to, my favorite. You know,
we
should
have an episode on favorite ballparks.
It's such an awesome ballpark. I've been to probably, like, I don't know, maybe like 12 or 13 or so, or 14. I don't know.
And it's,
some are gone, some are burned down, I guess.
Almost, what, 30 years old now?
And it's an old one.
Yeah.
And Atlanta's already got a new stadium in the meantime.
Right. It's kind of funny. But so I'm thinking of doing that because, I mean, once COVID is eased, I got my 2 shots. I'm ready to go.
That's not a bad drive either.
What is it from Connecticut?
It's like 5.5.
Oh, that's not bad.
Depending on how fast you're going.
All right, listen, that's it for another episode of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He is Mr. Yankee, John Senecal.
And hopefully better times ahead.
I can't wait till next time. Maybe they'll be worse or better, but either way, you would not have predicted the Red Sox in first and the Yankees in last.
No. All the pundits are rolling over right now.
Including us. We'll see you next time. You can watch us on YouTube and listen to us wherever you're listening now, on Spotify, Apple, where else, John? Any place else?
iHeart, Google, pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast.
Do me a favor. Like it, share it. We appreciate it. Talk to you next time.